Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
John Kenny, thank you very much indeed for that. We'll hear from John a little bit later on in the programme for another sports update. Now, the family of a patient who lay dead on the floor of a Limerick's overcrowded emergency department for over an hour before staff found him have called for meaningful changes in the hospital to prevent further tragedies there. 65-year-old Martin Abbott died unexpectedly at University Hospital Limerick in December 2019. And yesterday, an inquest heard how he had fallen from a hospital trolley after waiting 3 days for a bed. Our reporter, John Cook, is back with more on this story today. And John, you've been speaking with Mr. Abbott's family, which we'll hear of, but you might first remind us of the inquest you reported on yesterday.
Yes, Cormac. The University of Limerick Hospital Group offered sympathy and apologies in court yesterday for deficits in the care given to the late Martin Abbott, who fell from his hospital trolley, the court heard. He was in an isolation cubicle on another busy night at the emergency department there. There were 141 patients in the emergency department in the early hours of December 17, 2019, required hourly checks based on Mr. Abbott's deteriorating oxygen levels as he was treated for Legionnaire's disease were not carried out. No doctor saw him after 7:32 p.m. despite family requests to do so that night. At 3 a.m. he was recorded to be taking his oxygen mask off but wasn't checked on again until 4:40 a.m. when he was found unresponsive lying face down on the floor and later pronounced dead. It's been a very distressing 4 years for Martin Abbott's wife Mary and only daughter Anne Marie, who in her professional capacity works in administration for the University of Limerick Hospital Group. At the inquest yesterday, she stressed the clear line between her personal and professional life, speaking as a voice for her father, she said, and stating her wish that she would not be vilified in her professional career for doing so. Speaking to me today, we chatted first about her dad. She said she was a daddy's girl and always had a close bond with Martin, a popular Hackney driver in Shannon, County Clare, but a proud native of Roscrea and Tipperary.
Dad was a proud Tipperary man, so we went to a lot of matches, and I'm glad in 2019 that I got to see them lift the Lee McCarthy, so that was great. But he was a very strong man, an absolute gentleman in every sense of the word, would have done anything to help everyone along the way. He did have a complex medical history, but that did not interfere with him enjoying life.
He even had a kidney transplant in 2008.
He did. He had a kidney transplant in 2008. Previous to that, he would have been on dialysis. But, you know, it wasn't something that stopped him in any way. If anything, he was more, you know, he was more adamant to enjoy himself and to enjoy the best bits of life. And he just loved his holidays. And I suppose that's what he was looking forward to, was retiring and him and my mother travelling the world, basically.
Now, Martin Abbott enjoyed a family holiday with his wife Mary in Poland and had a party to celebrate Anne-Marie's 30th birthday in December of 2019, prior to a week of feeling unwell with fever, cough and abdominal pains. He went to the emergency department on December 14th on the advice of his consultant and initially appeared to be improving on antibiotics and intravenous fluids. But on the night of December 16th, Anne-Marie asked for staff in the busy emergency department to review his care again before she went home at 10 o'clock as she was worried about his condition.
I would have been into the hospital and I noticed how overcrowded it was, and it was chaotic, but I suppose me, I was just focusing on my dad. You know, I did express my concerns about how dad was doing. I felt he was, his breathing was a bit laboured, and that I wanted something to be done, you know, and I suppose I was met with a bit of rudeness. And they told me that it was nothing to do with them, that he was under the care of the medic team. So at this point, I went back down and I was told that the doctor would be down within the hour to see dad.
You tried to contact many times. I know you said to the inquest that night you couldn't get through on the phone to the emergency department to find out how your dad was doing on that trolley in that isolation cubicle. You were awoke by a call from your mum.
Mm-hmm. So it was around 6 a.m. and we got a phone call from my mother just stating that the guards were at the door, that UL Hospitals UL Hospital was trying to contact us. We went straight up, collected my mother, I rang the hospital and I was told he had a turn and to come in. We got in there then and were brought down to triage room 3. And the nurse in charge and the registrar on call told us he was dead, that he was found in a collapsed state by the sink and they suspected it was a heart attack. That was all the information that they gave us. We then went to see Dad in...
You must have been so shocked, Anne-Marie.
Yeah, yeah. I couldn't believe, I suppose, what I was hearing. I think when I first seen him, you know, it's, I suppose, from the inquest we've heard from the medical staff that, you know, he did have a quite of libido, the black marks in his face. So I did get quite a shock when I seen this and my legs just went out from under me. I just couldn't believe it.
Martin Abbott was laid to rest in Shannon on December 20th, 2019. 3 weeks later, on January 9th, 2020, the Limerick Leader newspaper reported on an investigation into the death of an unnamed patient who fell from a trolley in the hospital's overcrowded emergency department. Today, Anne-Marie told me that this was the first time that she and her mother became aware of the full circumstances of her dad's death and that an inquiry was ongoing, with hospital representatives meeting them the following day on January 10th to confirm the media reports related to her dad's case and to tell them more of what happened.
He died alone and no one found him for such a long time, and then to hear this on top of it and then to hear that there was an investigation ongoing and us as the family weren't even contacted. Now, they did apologise for not contacting us, but I do feel that the communication should have been instant.
We heard of efforts to resuscitate your dad were futile, it was said, because, and I hope you don't mind me bringing all this up again for you, but rigor mortis had set in. The pathologist told the coroner that rigor mortis sets in an hour or two after death. It was likely your dad was lying on the floor for over an hour, the coroner concluded. To hear all of that,
it's devastating, you know, to hear of anyone to have to die alone and, you know, you're in a hospital surrounded by medical staff and that you can't get the care that you need, you know, it's devastating. And it's, you know, my father wasn't close to death, but for him to have to die with no dignity is something that I don't know if I'll ever get over.
That's Anne-Marie Abbott, still obviously coming to terms with how her dad, Martin, died at University Hospital Limerick. You might remind us, John, what the coroner had to say at the inquest yesterday.
Yeah, Limerick coroner John McNamara recorded a verdict of death by medical misadventure in the case of Martin Abbott. This refers to an unexpected death while a person is undergoing medical care, but doesn't attribute any blame on anyone for his death. Determining civil or legal liability is not part of the coroner's role, we heard. But he did record how Mr. Abbott should have been monitored more frequently, as doctors had confirmed in evidence, and his case should have been escalated for further investigations or treatment, when what happened instead was that he was left on the floor for around an hour before staff found him too late.
You know, today, Anne-Marie Abbott thanked...
Today Anne-Marie expressed her thanks to the coroner for his pointed comments on Limerick's overcrowding problems, as well as her solicitor Katrina Carmody and Shannon for her help. And she said she welcomed the apology given by legal representatives for the University Hospital Group in Limerick for deficits in her dad's care. But she said the verdict doesn't give her all the answers she needs.
You know, there's still a lot of unanswered questions, but we acknowledge that they have apologised.
You said, Anne-Marie, you're still seeking answers. Is that something you'll pursue further through the courts, or do you know yet?
I suppose that's not something where we are at the moment, but I'm still seeking answers and I'll actively do so. And I suppose with the help of UL Hospital Group, hopefully, I'll get those.
While the coroner said his role and the function of a coroner's inquest is not to apportion blame to anyone for your dad's death, he made some very strong comments about overcrowding. He said it all comes back to overcrowding. And we heard about records going missing, patient files going missing. Your dad's consultant, Dr. Liam Casterly, said patient files are regularly going missing and went missing a number of times this week because charts are thrown on the floor. Your dad's Cardex with his medication details was never found.
It's not acceptable, any of these things. And if you're missing a patient's notes, how can you provide care effectively? You know, and the fact that this is ongoing, it should be... send red flags to hospital management here. There is good and positive changes, I feel, being made within the HSC, but it needs to go deeper. Mm-hmm. There is lots of recommendations there. There's,
and we heard there were 26 recommendations made following a review into your dad's case. 24 of them implemented. There's still some way to go on how they record patient records and medical records electronically. And we know there's some way to go on the overcrowding situation. What do you think needs to change?
They need to look internally and they need to review and see how they do things and how they communicate. Communication is...
With families like yours?
With families and also with other medical professionals. It's breaking down everywhere. Okay. You know, this is not just within UL Hospital Group. I think it's nationwide.
And very sadly, John, Martin Abbott's death isn't the only tragedy under the spotlight at the hospital in Limerick.
No, Cormac, we've spoken to other families recently with questions about the circumstances of their loved one's death in the overcrowded emergency department. There are ongoing investigations into other sudden deaths there too, including the case of 16-year-old Aoife Johnson. Her family also live in Shannon in County Clare, where the Abbotts do. She died at the hospital's emergency department in December 22nd after waiting 12 hours to be treated for sepsis. An independent investigation by former Chief Justice Frank Clark is ongoing. An inquest into her death is scheduled for Limerick Coroner's Court next month. As Martin Abbott's daughter Anne-Marie concluded her statement to that court yesterday and her interview with me today, she expressed the hope that her dad's death will not be in vain, but would serve as a catalyst to improve patient safety and well-being. And she questioned how many people have to die before the system changes.
How many families have to go through what I've been through? And I wouldn't wish it on anybody. And it could all be prevented if they look and see how they're doing things. You know, accidents do happen, but it's how they manage these accidents and these tragedies and being honest and trustworthy, and instead of prolonging heartache and grief for families, they need to just come out and say exactly what happened.
We've heard promises from successive health ministers, governments. There's been changes within the HSE, new management structures in the Midwest. Simon Harris, who I think was the health minister when your dad died, is now about to become the Taoiseach. What do you to say to the politicians and to the HSE?
This is an urgent issue. We can't brush over it anymore. They need to come down and speak to families on their experience, get the knowledge from the people that are going through this and actively listen and put meaningful change in. I understand that there's an executive teams and management teams and they're coming up with this plan, and I'm sure they're very positive, and I'm sure everything that they're doing is they're working tirelessly to do it. But if they're not looking at the root cause of this, it's not going to work. And I suppose what I will say is I will work tirelessly to try and help this and fix this myself, but it's down to them at the end of the day.
You said your dad was a great man for speaking up as well. All Hackney drivers are, taxi drivers are, I think. What would he have made of it all, or what would he say?
Dad would always stand up for himself and others, and I suppose that's exactly what I'm doing now for him.
Well, our sympathy to the late Martin Abbott's wife, Mary, and his daughter, Anne-Marie, speaking there with John Cook. The email address is drivetime@rte.ie if you want to get in touch.